Thank you, Patrick, for reading our gospel lesson this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. There is a fine line between treating the new person with a bit of light teasing and what some might consider hazing. It was a line that my clinical pastoral supervisor was willing to toe as I interned as a chaplain to fulfill ordination requirements. In total, there were four of us, two UCCers, a Roman Catholic priest, a Dominican friar, all of us going through the same program at a Missouri Synod Lutheran facility. Now, there's a bad joke in there somewhere. I just don't know what it is quite yet. On the first day, we all walked in the office to discover four wheelchairs in a perfect line. On each seat was a pair of glasses, hand lotion, and noise-canceling headphones. Before you begin class or visit with residents, our supervisor told us, you have 2 hours to explore the building, but in a way that will give you a taste of what those you will soon serve go through on a daily basis. So we sat down in the wheelchair, we put on the glasses, we were instructed to smear the hand lotion over the lens, and then our supervisor gets on the intercom and announces to the entire facility, ladies and gentlemen, our summer chaplains are here. They will soon be down your hallway. Make sure they feel welcomed. Click. Then we secured their headphones on, and we were off bumping down the hallways. And as you can imagine, there were people staring at us sideways. At first, a couple friendly people helped us navigate. They moved a chair or table if we were just stuck or caught. They would let us know which direction to go. But about after an hour, that all changed. Busy with other tasks, or perhaps the humor of watching interns bumping in to things was beginning to wear off. People did not pay attention anymore. Because of mobility and the loss of sight and sounds, I'll admit it felt pretty lonely that next hour. The second hour went by very slowly. I remember that feeling of being invisible or unnoticed. And not just by the people, but even by the building itself. The architects or facility planners did not fully envision a building where all people can navigate freely. The signage led me to a dead end of stairs when the elevator was located on the other side of the floor. However, nothing was more difficult than, you guessed it, using the restroom. And I exercised my privilege. I cheated by standing up before, you know. This was an exercise, a minuscule taste of what some people were going through. But in that brief window, I could imagine how one could feel lonely, forgotten, even invisible when others do not intentionally see them or create a facility that fully sees them. On some level, we have all felt that in some way. Someone here has been sick and was left wondering why no one was checking up on them. Someone here knows what it's like to work so hard and be diligent, but coworkers or their boss or those that they serve or help don't recognize it and they're overlooked. Someone here knows what it's like to contact a friend or family member only to realize that later they were intentionally dodging calls or text messages. It's an awful feeling to be unnoticed, because this is how, after all, we feel valued and loved. in our scripture lesson, she really should not have been at the synagogue on the Sabbath for more than one reason. For 18 years, she has been living with this condition that caused her to be bent over, unable to stand straight. 18 years long. And let's put ourselves in her position and imagine how difficult that could have been for her. What was it like every day to do tasks, even as simple as looking to see who was speaking to her? How did others treat her differently because of her condition? Were there some that weren't sure what to say, so they just chose not to say anything? James Edwards, a New Testament scholar, can help us here when he says, people at this time with physical deformities were expected to remain socially invisible, especially women. Because it was a patriarchal community, women rarely, if ever, were approached by rabbis, nor did rabbis, as a rule, speak to women. The architecture of society and religion was built in a way that made it possible for her to be invisible for 18 long years. But on this Sabbath day, she does something bold. She demonstrates not only courage, but a deep faith. She bucks the social norms, she bucks the religious norms, and it doesn't appear that she's trying to be revolutionary or this rebel, but she simply desires to be with God and worship in a faith community. That's it. And boy, did she have a preacher that day. The preacher that day had a controversial reputation, mainly because he focused on God's concern for the oppressed and spent time among those who were or should not be seen or heard. Jesus was teaching in a packed synagogue where a large crowd gathered to listen to every word from his mouth, including one skeptical synagogue leader who grew more indignant with each word that posed a threat to his precious institution. No one saw her come in, just as no one usually saw her for the past 18 years. And all of a sudden, the preacher stops preaching. And he sees the woman in the back. Sure, he notices her ailment, but he sees more than that. He sees her whole and most authentic self. His gaze is warm, affectionate, and loving. It is the kind of look that needs no words, but instantly affirms and values and gives dignity to the preciousness of life. And so this spoken good news that preachers like to do so much has to wait in that moment. And the doing of the good news cannot wait. Jesus calls her over and he lays his hands upon her like someone may comfort someone with a hug. And she immediately stands up and begins praising God. This is a miracle worth giving a shout of joy and thanksgiving. 18 years and she has found healing. Now I'm going to let you in on something, that every healing story in the New Testament has its healing between Jesus and that person. Well, Jesus and God through that person. But there is another dimension to every healing story which often goes unspoken. Because healing is never just about one person, but it is at the same time about being restored to community. Not only is the woman seen fully by God and free, but in this crowded synagogue, the community sees her and the community is changed because she is now fully visible. They failed to recognize her before, but now they move not only to welcome her, but to affirm her belonging with them. Author Cole Riley writes this, and I think it's really important for us to listen to, especially in these times we are living in. She writes, "There is a comfort in being welcomed, but there is dignity in knowing that your arrival just shifted a group toward deeper wholeness." In other words, as she reflects, this woman, the image of God to everyone there. Her presence reveals to the community that they are not yet whole without her. And it may have caused them to wonder, who else are we not seeing fully? What child of God have we passed this day and not helped? And like Jesus, let's not talk about good news, but let's do it. My fellow chaplains and I shared our common experiences after this, including the restroom. And after comparing our notes, we were compelled not to keep it to ourselves. And so we gave our supervisor a substantial list of changes that would make the residents feel like they were truly seen and belonged. Jesus not only frees this woman, but also the community to see with and act with a deeper compassion, especially for those who are often overlooked. Now, there is good news and bad news at this point. The good news is we worship a God who is with us when we feel invisible. God draws close to us and touches us when no one else will. God desires our fullest self to shine securely within a community. That is very good news. The bad news is not everyone will recognize the good news. The bad news is that some will not celebrate our healing or our wholeness. Some will not acknowledge our humanity or that we belong. In fact, some actively make it their purpose to keep the invisible unseen, the marginalized to the outskirts of public view. The leader of the synagogue is indignant, fuming at what he is witnessing, more motivated by ritual performance than what motivates God, which is the needs of others. And so, yes, this is bad news, not just for some people, but for everyone. Have you read the news lately? There's a lot of bad news in there. Our lives happen to coincide in a moment all too familiar to students of history. And it's worth sounding the alarm that what is going on does not lead to a deeper wholeness, does not lead to the communal well-being. A retelling of history that makes invisible decades of inhumane slavery, public policy goals that would push people into closets, undo the covenantal commitments of marriage, and create an environment of fear and retribution for public schools and others that recognize the reality of diversity. Our lives happen to coincide within a democracy where to vote is to be seen and heard is being restricted and suppressed. Like the synagogue leader, indignant that someone was made healthy and that they belong, we are living in a moment when we are called to stand by Jesus. Call to stand and see those unseen. To work toward healing and wholeness of all God's beloved. And like Jesus, we are called to confront bad news. The only question for us is, will we? Amen.